Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
With thee will I shatter the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I shatter the horse and his rider, and with thee will I shatter the chariot and him that rideth therein, and with thee will I shatter man and woman, and with thee will I shatter the old man and the youth, and with thee will I shatter the young man and the maid, and with thee will I shatter the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I shatter the husbandman and his yoke of oxen, and with thee will I shatter governors and deputies, and I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord.
The notion that we would condition Iran not getting nuclear weapons in a verifiable deal on Iran recognizing Israel is really akin to saying that we won't sign a deal unless the nature of the Iranian regime completely transforms. And that is, I think, a fundamental misjudgment.
And so blow the horn among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms, appoint a marshal against her, cause the horses to come up as the rough cankerworm. Prepare against her the nations, the kings of the Medes, the governors and all the deputies, and all the land of his dominions, and the land quaketh and is in pain. For the purposes of the Lord are performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Savage Nation. Slight difference of the beginning today. Iran news report. Tehran will start using fastest centrifuges on day one of Obama's deal. In other words, as I told you yesterday, your president has given Iran a green light to develop nuclear weapons. Your president has thrown Israel to the wolves. Your president has put America's interests last. It's no longer America first, but under Obama, it's America last. And so where do we turn? Many of you are not only perplexed, you're anguished. You're anguished because you don't see any salvation. You certainly didn't see it in Rand Paul. You didn't see it in any of the Republican speeches. There was not a mention of ISIS. Not a mention of ISIS, not a mention of stopping them, not a mention of putting National Guard on the border to stop the hordes of illegals coming to devour us like the plague. Not one word from any Republicans about the borders, our language and our culture. So who do we turn to? And why do we even read the news anymore? Why do we listen to talk radio anymore? Is it just to be shocked and entertained? Let me tell you something. The age of Howard Stern and panties and lesbians is over. It's been over for 20 years. That's something for 12-year-olds. But adults don't need to be shocked listening to radio. There's no need to listen to talk radio just to get a little charge here and again from a remark or something shocking. I mean, I can do the sarcasm when it occurs, but we're way past that. We're in a new phase. We've entered a new phase, not only in the news media and in radio particularly, but a new phase in world affairs. Because never before in American history have we seen a president taking the side of our most devout enemies. Against all common sense, he tells us that they're a partner that we should deal with. Against all common sense, he reverses the world order that's been in place for 70 years, which did keep Americans safe. Make no mistake about it. By and large, it kept Americans safe. But no more. And so people wake up and they ask, which side is he on? Then they ask the question, well, is he delusional? Is he just an academic intellectual who doesn't really know what's going on? Or is he playing for the other side? And as I, Michael Savage, have said for a few months now, it doesn't really matter because the end result is the same. It doesn't really matter if he's playing for the other side or if he's just an academic idealist who doesn't really know reality when it comes to dealing with these devils. The end result is the same. I've said it for months, and now we hear that Dick Cheney said the same thing. And I hope that Dick Cheney is a listener to the show. I would welcome in all the retired security people, all the retired military people who listen with astonishment. men and women who have risked their lives for this nation, who are now sidelined, having been replaced by children. Children who are either brainwashed or drug addicted, who do not even understand which country they're working for. And so we sit on the brink, and many of us don't know what to do. And so last night, I was pondering that question, what happens next? Who stops a madman who's out of control? Or who stops an idealist who's out of control? Well, that's for God to do. I once had a relative who was robbing everyone in the family. Very charming man. And nobody wanted to believe he was robbing everyone in the family because he was a charming man. But he was a born thief. He was a lifetime of being a thief. His father was a thief. Everyone liked him because he was charming. He just entertained everybody. He was super charming. No one could believe he was going to rob us. Oh, we had heard he had robbed others outside the family, and that's what he did. But we didn't pay much attention to that because that was them. And, well, he was in the family. He was with us. Well, eventually he robbed virtually everyone in the family, myself included, on fake investments. And I remember my deceased mother came to me with tears in her eyes. He had stolen her life savings. And she said to me, "You've got to do something. You've got to do something." And I said, "Ma, you know what? Let God seek vengeance. I am not God. It is not my place to seek your vengeance or vengeance for you, Mother. Let God seek vengeance." And lo and behold, as the years went by, he got caught, he got ensnared, and he wound up in jail. His life was ruined. He came out a broken man and took a menial job to live out the few years that was left in his life in a sort of horrendous existence from where he had previously been. And so last night I turned to the Bible. I'm not a particularly religious man. You know, sometimes I scoff, I reject, I make a mockery of the religion. And then sometimes I look at it and I say, is this real? Is this prophetic? Was Jeremiah making all this stuff up? Was he just a crackpot who was low on vitamin B3? There was no Ritalin in his day. If he had had Ritalin as a child, he wouldn't have been Jeremiah. He would have, done something. He would have owned a vitamin stand or something. But he wrote these things, and he saw the future. Prophets see the future. And you understand what prophecy is? Those who can see into the future. There are those amongst us who are prophets. They see things that you can't see. There are painters amongst us, for example, who can paint. And you say, how the heck do they do that? How do they paint that picture? Where does it come from in their mind? How does that come up in his mind? There are those amongst us who are musicians. And we ask, where does that come from? How can they play that instrument? So how do we do that? No answer. There are writers who write things that make you weep to realize what the human mind is capable of. And so there are prophets. And some of you believe that the prophets did write the Holy Scriptures. Many of you believe that the Holy Scriptures hold the answer as to what's coming for this. And so as I turned to Jeremiah, I said to myself, what does this mean to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant? Well, I'd say it's kind of easy, even for the scoffer. It means that Babylon, which is was found about 70 miles south of Baghdad, it's in Iraq, will no doubt be made a land of desolation. As ISIS continues its rampage, virtually without interruption by Barack Hussein Obama, as ISIS does the most horrible things we have seen since Hitler's time, and there's hardly a peep amongst those at the New York Times who can only do so much every day to advance the agenda of the radical left, I say one day there will be a punishment for this. I read a story this morning in the Christian Post that made even me shrink. I couldn't take it. I couldn't even look at it, but I had to for you. And the headline is, ISIS cuts off 4 kids' hands, 1 for stealing a toy, and executes a starving child for stealing food. And there's a picture of these poor children inside a cage. It's enough to rip your heart out. Little children in a cage with these thugs, these vermin, these gangsters with a flame next to them scaring the poor little children. You see, they're not Muslim children. They're subhumans to the Nazis in headscarves. They're not human children. They're not Muslims. They're little Azidi children. And what do you care about Azidis? all you Larry Davids of the world. You could just mock me and you could mock them. What's an aziti? What is that, a certain kind of pasta? Why do I care about azitis? They're not my audience in Hollywood. But they're people. They're human beings just like you. They have little hearts and little minds. And they're living in a horror that you cannot hardly imagine. But there's a picture for you to look at. And while it's no secret that your friends in the Islamic State amputates the hands of grown adults who have been accused of stealing, apparently they're now doing the children. But they're not your children. I mean, they're not your children. They're some kind of weird Middle Easterner. And if a woman has a boyfriend and is married, they kill them. They cut off their hair, they're stoned, they're shot, some are beheaded for adultery. If the woman has a boyfriend, the punishment is stoning. If she has more than one boyfriend, she'll be shot. Would you like to hear more about the racist psychopaths called ISIS? For Yazidis, if a girl is under 8 years of age, nothing happens. But if she's older than eight, they force her to have sex with the jihadists. You see, eight was the age that Muhammad chose for adulthood in his time. And so the throwback psychotics read their Quran and take it literally. And so they go along their way, and no one in the UN stops them, because the UN is, as you know, just a corrupt organization that has no meaning to it for its existence. Families in Mosul, now occupied by ISIS, are afraid to send their daughters to school because the militants go to the schools and take girls out of the class and force them to have sex, and that the murderers pick non-Muslim girls to rape. But don't worry, they're very compassionate, all you feminists, because if the girl is under eight, nothing happens to her, so they're good. These are good terrorists. But if she's older than eight, they force her to have sex with the jihadists. I know Ruth Bader Ginsburg has wanted to reduce the age of consent to 14, or was it 12, or is it 9? We don't know. But it's only a few years off from the murderers in ISIS, Ruth. Good job. And so that's what's going on. That's what's going on, and we do nothing. But do you know why it's going on in Mosul? Do you know why the men can't fight back? Did you hear why? Because before ISIS took over the town, the Kurdish government forces went house to house and took all the weapons in order to prevent the rebel uprising. But in taking their weapons, the Kurds left Mosul residents with nothing more than a knife to defend themselves, their family, and their property. Ibrahim, an eyewitness, says people are like sheep now. They don't have weapons, only knives. On that note, I will take a break. I invite your calls. I have many other news stories at 855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. So your president, who people don't know whether he is an academic idealist who's naive along the lines of many, so many before him, or an outright, shall I say, treasonous enemy of the people. No one knows. It doesn't really matter what he is, because he may as well be one or the other. He's now supporting the mullahs of Tehran, threatening the legitimate governments and our allies in Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and other Sunni-majority countries, with the idea that disaffected youth will rise up in a revolution in their country. Now, what does this say about your president? Well, it says that he's clearly a Marxist revolutionary who is also suffering from a messianic complex. The man wants to turn the world on its axis and remake it in his own image. When asked, well, what about the Iranians who hate the Hitler-like theocrats, he says that his nuclear deal with them will free the nation to pursue science, technology, and job creation. But that's the nuclear deal that we put together, he says. And he says, but the nuclear deal that we put together is not based on the idea that somehow the regime must change. He said, no, it doesn't have to change. This says it all. He is not only a Marxist revolutionary, but a supporter of a Shiite hegemony. And so we now have arrived at a point in history where he is threatening all of our allies and supporting all of our enemies, soon to go to Cuba and reward these jailers, the Castro brothers, reward them once again for being jailers. Shall I let you talk, or shall I read you something beautiful? I'll read you something beautiful. You know, the savage, what does it mean to an American? Scholarship contest closed on March 31st. We received 1,600 valid applications, and the team is going through them. And here's one that came in that I'm pretty sure is going to be a winner. I don't even know who wrote it. You got to understand, I don't see the person's name, the age, or the school. I just got it. Here's what it says. To be an American means privilege and freedom, with a sense of pride obtained through invention, hard work, and innovation. Out of a free nation sparked ingenuity and creativity that lifted the quality of life for all humanity. Americans invented the airplane, telephone, light bulb, and television. We developed the silver screen in agriculture, bringing entertainment and nourishment to the masses. We created the automobile that enabled personal freedom and independence beyond anyone's wildest expectations. This is a student, mind you. To escape tyranny and death, our ancestors fled to America in pursuit of liberty and religious freedom. Patrick Henry once said, "Give me liberty or give me death." He believed death was preferred to life under an oppressive dictatorial ruler. We defeated the British Army, which allowed our independence from England, celebrated as the 4th of July. Yet many forget the sacrifices of our forefathers to preserve our freedoms and suffered personal loss in defense of liberty. Life was difficult for the early Americans who forged this great nation, yet others have taken our sacrifices for granted while they abuse our liberties. I'll read on from this student's essay, what it is to be an American, to give you some hope that there's an entire generation of patriotic, God-fearing, America-loving youngsters out there who have not bought the lesbian, gay, communist line. They have rejected it. They have not taken it hook, line, and sinker. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I think that our friends in the region, our traditional Sunni states, have some very real external threats. But they also have some internal threats. They have the internal threat of populations that, in some cases, are alienated, youth that are underemployed, an ideology that is destructive and nihilistic, and in some cases, just a belief that there are no legitimate political outlets for grievances.
He could be talking about the United States, couldn't he? Internal threats, populations that in some cases are alienated, youth that are underemployed, an ideology that is destructive and nihilistic. Sounds like the rap culture, doesn't it? And in some cases, just a belief that there are no legitimate political outlets for grievances. And yet this lunatic is encouraging basically an uprising in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and the other Sunni majority countries. He's basically giving a green light. A wink, wink. He wants the Arab Spring to hit these countries and overthrow the rulership. What does it say about Obama? That he's a Marxist revolutionary who is also suffering from a messianic complex. He is turning the world on its axis and remaking it in his own twisted vision. And then he was asked by his stooge at the New York Times, the most shameful of all reporters, Thomas Friedman, what about the Iranians who hate the Hitler-like theocrats? He didn't put it that way. He put it in a more polite manner, I think. He said, well, what about the theocrats there? What about the people in those countries? What about them? What would you say to them, Messiah? Well, he said the nuclear deal that he's offered them will free the nation to pursue job creation, science, and technology. I mean, this is beyond comprehension. The nuclear deal that he put together will free the nation to pursue science, technology, and job creation. But it's not based on the idea that somehow the regime must change. So he is not only now seen for what he is as a Marxist revolutionary, but an outright supporter of a Shiite hegemony in the world. That's the Iran deal in a nutshell. Iran won. They didn't really win. They had a man in Havana, so to speak, him. Remember the old thing, Our Man in Havana? When it was about the Cold War, when spies were put into Cuba, Our Man in Havana. Well, they have a man in the White House. That's their man in Havana. That's the metaphor. There was a fabulous editorial in the Wall Street Journal today by Henry Kissinger, of all people, entitled The Iran Deal and Its Consequences. It's long. It's 2,000 words, but it's so well written and so well constructed, I recommend that you read it. And the bottom line is this: mixing shrewd diplomacy with open defiance of UN resolutions, Iran has gradually turned the negotiation on its head. Iran's centrifuges are multiplied from about 100 at the beginning of the negotiation to almost 20,000 today. And then Kissinger adds this: the threat of war now constrains the West more than Iran. It's beyond belief what's going on. So, I mean, what do you want to say about all of this? What do you think about the essay, What Is It to Be an American, which I didn't finish? Let me finish the essay, okay? And then he said, whoever wrote this says, from these humble beginnings, this country rose in faith and fortitude to form the great nation of America. Through generations of hardworking immigrants in search of a better life, we shared the American dream in the land of opportunity. America symbolized the united quest for freedom through hard work, faith, ingenuity, and independence. And then the student added this to her essay, or his essay: we are in a struggle to preserve our nation's liberty with open borders and an onslaught of illegal aliens that ignore our laws and abuse our privileges. If something is taken without effort, there is little appreciation. Those who are ignorant of sacrifice for freedom undermine those freedoms. Ours is a nation of moral goodness, charity, and forgiveness. Yet during the 1960s, our culture and heritage was undermined from within. Worship was taken from the classroom and replaced with the void of spiritual emptiness. With God forsaken, our country and innocence seemed lost. Through the door of broken idealism entered communism, accompanied by countercultural madness that splintered Americans under the guise of false liberation, wherefore many lost their way. The student concludes as follows in the application to my scholarship contest. It's one more paragraph. Please bear with me. The student writes this: the clash of communist ideology has taken a stronghold in our country that now threatens our personal freedoms. Yet the rising tide is beginning to turn toward our conservative roots. The love of this country is enlightened through the savage nation, whose lone voice echoes the promise of liberty while dismantling the effects of liberal ideology. The savage truth has lifted this great nation toward freedom, and toward that truth may God lead us from the path of destruction. For without defense of freedom and nation, defined as borders, language, and culture by Michael Savage, we face the same tyranny as our forefathers. Yet as Americans, we possess the perseverance of God's grace and the indestructibility of the spirit. I'm pretty sure this is going to be a finalist, one of the winners. It picked out of the 1,600 and sent to me, and it's pretty darn good. But it should give you hope that not everyone is a brainwashed, pot-smoking loser who hates this country. Those are the people who wind up working for Obama. Those are the people who wind up working in the media. Those are the people who are producing the vile imagery that Weinstein and company specialize in Hollywood. But they're not the America that I see. There's a growing America that is hardened, and they are sickened, and they're willing to fight for this country. Don't give up. I'm trying to give you hope. That student submitted the essay, and I want you to see that they're not all what the media would have you believe they are. They're not all on campus having sex like mink. They're not all on campus doing drugs day and night. Millions of kids go to school and make something of their lives, but they're not featured on the news. Instead, you see the whack jobs in ethnic studies, or the losers in gender identification studies. Invented theory. There's no field like that. They made the whole thing up to put perverts on the campus.
Gender studies. What do you have to study about a gender? Just watch a pair of seagulls, you idiots, you. Watch a pair of ducks, you morons. Gender studies. There's a boy duck and a girl duck. They make babies. There's your gender studies. What kind of insanity has taken over in our universities that it could produce a Barack Obama? That's what it produced. A man who takes the side of the worst terror-sponsoring nation on Earth, Iran. How many of our men have no arms and legs or in early graves because of Iranian IEDs? How many? You didn't hear that in Obama's glowing report about his new friends, the mullahs, the Hitlers in headscarves, did you? So where do we turn is the point. Who's going to save this nation? What kind of rotten system do we have that a lunatic, an out-of-control madman like this, can keep going on his merry way, even though the election said, stop, stop him, stop him, stop him, stop him, he's killing all of us. And this charlatan gets up the next day and says, go to hell, and he triples down. And he does one horrendous thing after another. One thing after another, and there's no opposition. Instead, he goes to stooges like Thomas Friedman in the New York Times. Or NPR, a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat Party, which should have been defunded a long time ago. And where's John Boehner, the leader of the opposition? Where is that stumble bum drunk? Where is he today? What does he have to say about all of this? Nothing. In the cloakroom, swilling the scotch, I would guess. So where do we turn? Times like this, it's really rough for people. They tune out. They put their head in the sand, they go about their lives, and they forget about it. They can't do anything about it. They give up, which is exactly what a despot like Obama wants you to do. He wants you to give up, so as he floods America with 30 million illegal aliens and become the new voter bloc that he needs to retain power for 100 years, you won't even care at that point. You will have been boiled like the frog in the hot water. So who do you turn to? I don't know. People turn in. People turn inward. They say, I voted. What more do you want from me? We have a rotten, corrupt political system that I can't affect. Aren't the courts supposed to block a madman who comes along? Well, there is. There's one judge who blocked the madman. Did you see what went on today in the news? This is an amazing story. One lone federal judge has stood between Obama and his desire to destroy America with 30 or more million illegal aliens with the stroke of a pen. Fed judge continues to block O's flood of illegals. I had to read the article four times to understand it. And then I had to convert it to the proper headline. And it's on michaelsavage.com. Fed judge continues to block O's flood of illegals. The judge didn't like when people lie to him. And he is standing in the way of this deluge, this onslaught, this overrunning of our nation by this madman in the White House who thinks that he is the ultimate authority along the lines of other dictators that I've read about in the past, who become the law, a law unto themselves. The be-all and the end-all of all laws, one man. We're never supposed to have had one-man rule, but we have it now. And that leads me to my new novel, a new thriller from the best-selling author Michael Savage. Just listen to the subtitle of Countdown to Mecca. Under the threat of a third world war, nothing matters except the mission. It is all about Iran getting a nuclear weapon. Just think about it for a minute before you jump to the conclusion that you've read it before. No, you haven't read it before. No, you have not read it before. It's original. You haven't read it before. The plot is original. And I wrote it. It's coming out in a month. It's so on time, it's frightening. I had to continuously send the publisher emails and say, would you please speed it up? Please get it out there. Please get it out there. It's about Iran getting the bomb and about the fellow travelers in this government who are working on behest of Iran. And it's one of my Jack Hatfield thrillers, Countdown to Mecca. And it's good. And I've got new characters in there if you haven't heard about them. And what I did is I listed the characters in the beginning because they're hard to follow so many characters. If you look at movies, there's only 2, 3, 4, 5 characters today with thin storylines. But this is a little complex. I introduced a few new ones and a few old ones, Jack Hatfield. But I introduced a clown and a prostitute, which the original editor didn't like. He said, get rid of the clown and the prostitute. I said, no, they're germane to the whole story. They must be in there. The clown must be in there. The prostitute must be in there. You hear? And then there's some old characters. There's Jack Hatfield, and then there's his girlfriend, Dover Griffith. I won't read the sex scenes on the air because people get offended if I read that. But then, you know, sex is part of life. So I included it in the novel. I don't know why it offends people. I don't get it. And so then they have an argument in the car. They're going somewhere. And Saul, a Jewish gangster, is in there who's helping them. And he's talking to them. And Sammy says, after what you've done for this town, Jack, I would have thought they'd given you a direct line to the commissioner by now. Jack says, some may give me grudging private respect, but most think I'm some sort of right-wing vigilante just because I tell the truth. How many bombs have to go off before they accept that all Islam is inherently radical? I know how you feel, Saul said. People judge me, too. Jack glared at him. That's because you're a lawless smuggler of contraband. See, Saul, the gangster said, I'm also a man whose word is gold and who will risk his life for people he doesn't know. Isn't that how you want people to see you? All Jack would say was touche. A moment later, he slid into the parking slot designated for his 40-ton, 59-foot-long Grand Banks yacht. Jack felt relieved at the sight of it, swaying gently in the moonlight that was dappling gems on Richardson Bay. Inside, Eddie was probably wondering what was taking his master so long. The poor poodle probably needed a good ear scratching, a walk, and a doggy treat or two, though the sound and smell of strangers might send them hiding in the port side cabinet in Jack's stateroom. Jack's tired legs were pulling him from the car when he heard Anastasia inhale sharply. He turned to see the woman's lupine eyes peering behind him, pointing at the yacht. All three men, now out of the car and positioned around her at the edge of the quay, looked toward the harbor. There's someone inside that boat, Anastasia stated, lowering her arm. I saw a shadow. Jack looked ahead. The boat was dark, but the ambient light of the quay kept it from being black. If someone were on board, they might be visible against the vessel's muddy silhouette. Wait here, Sammy said, snatching the Kel-Tec from the seat and starting forward. Wait, Jack said, but it was too late. Sammy sprinted ahead. Whether it was an inflated sense of marine chivalry or personal recrimination for having needed the help of his brother and a mobster, he was already halfway to the yacht. Jack set off after him. By the time he reached the Sea Rider, Sammy had already sprinted on board. Jack jumped from the slip onto his boat and burst into the entryway, just in time to see Sammy Hatfield aiming the Kel-Tec at the grizzled face of a tall, lanky, white-haired man. That's Countdown to Mecca, for those fans of Jack Hatfield. This is the best yet and the last in the series. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, there's a lot of news out there. Warships are moving to Yemen from Iran. We're moving a warship in the area. We don't know which side it's going to be on, probably fighting with Iran against Israel. Oh, yeah. You could wake up one day and hear the imposter say that for the sake of national security, we had to go to war with Israel in order to defend our new Pax Americana. Those stiff-necked Jews had to be put in their place. And so we moved an aircraft carrier off the port of Tel Aviv just to keep those Jews in their place, to permit Iran to expand. Don't be silly. That couldn't happen. That couldn't happen, not with all the Jewish money going into Democratic coffers. Why, the Jews wouldn't let that happen, would they? No. They're so patriotic and so defensive of Israel. You know who they are, the liberal Jewish community that gives so much money to the Democrats. They all turned on Israel the minute Boss Tweed told them to. Yeah. 3 months ago, Dianne Feinstein was raking it in from AIPAC. 3 months ago, Barbara Boxer was raking it in from AIPAC. I can give you the whole list. Big mouths, all of them. Big defenders of Israel when the money was flowing. And then the minute they sniffed a bigger dollar coming from the Arabs, you know what happened, don't you? You know exactly which way the wind blows. Whichever way the gelt blows, that's where they went. You don't like it? It's too bad. That's the way it is. That's exactly what happened. Quislings all. Be back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I think the biggest threats that they face may not be coming from Iran invading. It's going to be from dissatisfaction inside their own countries. Disentangling that from real terrorist activity inside their country, how we sort that out, how we engage in the counterterrorism cooperation that's been so important to our own security without automatically legitimizing or validating whatever repressive tactics they may employ. I think that's a tough conversation to have, but it's one that we have to have.
So here is your president having a conversation with the Quisling stooge, Thomas Friedman, at the New York Times, stabbing our traditional Sunni allies in the back and supporting the theocracy of Iran. Supporting the mullahs of Iran, threatening the legitimate governments of our allies in Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and other Sunni-majority countries, not to mention Israel, with the idea that disaffected youth will rise up in a revolution. In other words, the psycho is not through yet. In other words, the psycho is still pushing the insane theory of the Arab Spring. It's not enough to overthrow Gaddafi in Libya, introducing anarchy and chaos, just as he was warned by Gaddafi himself. It's not enough that he put the Muslim Brotherhood in power in Egypt, and when the people rose up and threw out the Muslim Brotherhood, he sent John McCain, the stooge, that nasty piece of work, to dare lecture the Egyptian people that they should restore the murderers in the Muslim Brotherhood. It's not enough that he wants to do it to every other Sunni nation. What does it tell you? When asked about the Iranians who hate the Hitler-like theocrats in their own country, he had the nerve to say that the nuclear deal will free Iran to pursue job creation, science, and technology. It's beyond comprehension. And so it comes back to a primary question. He's only a man. He's not a god. President Obama is a man. He is not a god. If you say Merkel in Germany, they know she's a leader and she's got power, but they know she's only a person, a human, a member of the same species as the German people. If you say the leader of this country, that country, they know that they're just men. Except in Iran, they're not just men. They're like the Pope. The supreme leader is like the Pope to them. And in this delusional narcissist's mind, he is not an ordinary man. He is a Superman. And again, I have to argue the case that I think he's insane. And I have to argue the case that, look, if he's only a man, and men are capable of being good, bad, indifferent, sane, crazy, smart, stupid, he's just a man. Why can't it be so that Obama is suffering from a mental disorder? A seriously deranged president who is destroying the nation and the world. You could say it's on the misguided notions of liberalism. Put it any way you want. What if he's seriously insane? What would you do about it? We have a corrupt system that does not permit his replacement. It's a prison. We're living in a prison called democracy. The same democracy that the leader of Turkey, a rising Islamist, Erdogan, said, we will ride the train of democracy to our ultimate victory, meaning the Muslim takeover of the West. I mean, it's chilling. It's chilling words. So what if he's crazy? How do you remove a crazy president? Well, you can't declare him crazy. No one's crazy anymore. You see, the Psychiatric Association has made it so that there's no such thing as insanity. Either you're a victim or you just have a different lifestyle, but you're not crazy. The definition of what is crazy has been so altered that no one knows what crazy is anymore. I remember it used to be in the 60s that the definition of crazy was if a person was going to harm themselves or harm others, then the psychiatric establishment moved in. What if a president is harming his own nation and other nations? What do you do then? I tell me the answer to this. Why I turn to the Bible in the first hour. Say, well, all right, so what is that? The Bible's a delusion? Is it a delusion? It sounded quite prophetic to me. Because what's going to happen is this. The delusion of a deal with Iran is such that it's backed Israel into a corner, and they have no way out. There's only one way out for Israel. There's no two ways. Israel can't negotiate with a nation that wants them destroyed. Israel can't negotiate with Adolf Hitler, who quotes the Quran. If Hitler were alive today, he'd be in Iran wearing a headscarf. He'd be marching around with the mullahs, screaming death to the Jews. That's what he'd be doing. So you can't expect Israel to negotiate with people who want them all dead, do you? So what would you do if you were an Israeli and you had the most powerful military in the Middle East right now, and you saw growing war clouds, you saw your once ally America turning on you, throwing you to the wolves, doing a deal with your worst enemy, giving them a fast track to an atomic weapon or 10, what would you do? There's only one thing they can do, and it's going to happen. That's unless all of it's a crock of garbage and it's all invented to scare us. I have to throw that in there because I don't know how close Iran is to the bomb. See, this is the problem with all of this. Israel has cried wolf a few too many times for me. I remember 2 years ago they were screaming Iran's about to get the bomb any second, any day, any minute, any second. And then all of a sudden it was a year from now. Now it's 14 years. So I don't know the truth of the situation. And I don't know how much of this is meant to intimidate the Israeli population into maintaining Netanyahu in office, nor into intimidating us into maintaining this delusional character in office. Put aside Iran and the nukes. Put that aside for a minute. What about flooding America with 30 million illegal aliens, most of whom are illiterate in Spanish? And I emphasize that. Illiterate in Spanish. 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 They will never, ever assimilate. They will never speak English. Why would you want to do that to a nation that is trying to raise itself up instead of pushing itself down? Have you ever heard of a nation wanting to go down the ladder of success? Can you name one nation on earth that wants to immigrate its way down the ladder of success? Our children can hardly read and write and do mathematics today. 30, 40 years ago, we were at the top of the scale. Look at where we are today as a result of liberalism and the liberal educational concepts. Look where we are, and the flood of illegals, and open admissions, and moving children ahead even though they don't pass tests. Look where we are today. Now look ahead 20 years and tell me where we'll be when we'll have 30 million people here who don't speak the language. Tell me how it can get any better. It can't. It can only get worse. So put aside your question of Iran. And don't give me the Pollyanna excuse that they all come here to work and America's a land of immigrants and they all love the country. That's utter garbage. It's utter rubbish. No, they're not the next Einsteins. They're not the next wave of Einsteins and Tellers. No, they're not. No, they're not. All societies are not the same. All cultures are not equal. You don't know that, do you? You think they are, but you're insane if you believe that. That's part of the liberal rhetoric. That's utter rubbish. How come the East Indian comes here and rises to the top of the class almost immediately? How come in India, they come over from India, and within 3 months they're winning a spelling bee? How did that happen? I don't see any Mexicans winning spelling bees, do you? I'm sorry to lay it on the line. We have no time left for mincing words. Why is he doing this to America? There's only one reason, to create 100 years of a Democrat-Socialist rule, 100 years of Democrat-Socialist rule, period, slavery, turn us all into serfs. So, look, I've said my piece. I know many of you agree with this, and there's nothing you feel you can do about it because there's an invisible Republican Party. Then you see the announcement by Ted Cruz, zero. Then you see the announcement yesterday by Rand Paul, and it's like, oh my God, are you kidding? Did he really say that? Prosperity is just around the corner. In other words, he's offering us the same old rhetoric of a chicken in every pot. I mean, it's true that Obama gave pot to every chicken. But I don't think the answer is a chicken in every pot. I think I've heard that before. Not once did Rand Paul say he'd stop the surge of illegal aliens. Not once did Rand Paul have one word to say about how he would stop ISIS. Nothing, the same hollow garbage. So who do we turn to? Who do we turn to? I turn to Jeremiah the prophet in hour number one. And I would say that of all the shows I do, I rank every one that I do in my own head, kind of as I do them. I would rank hour number one as a 10 on a scale of 10. You can't match a 10. You can only follow it up with a 7 or an 8. It's impossible to do a 10, 10, 10 in 3 hours on a show. I've occasionally done a 10, 9, 8, 10, 9, 9. I've done a 10, 10, 9. I've never done a 10, 10, 10. Never. It's an impossibility. I did a 10 in hour one. If you missed it, you'll have to find it somewhere. Let's take a quick caller while I still have a minute here. Anthony on W. Where's TMA? I don't know where TMA is. Where is TMA? I don't know where that is. Anthony, where are you calling from? Where's TMA Radio?
I'm in on my way to Wilmington, North Carolina right now.
No, but I'm saying you're listening on WTMA Radio, correct?
Yes.
And where is that?
In between Wilmington and Kingsville, North Carolina.
Okay. All right. Sorry. So what are you calling about?
Okay. First of all, thanks for taking my call. And I'm listening to you. I listened to hour number one. And the reason I'm calling is because of something I heard in hour number one, your 10 hour. I had two quick comments to make. One was I heard your letter, your scholarship letter that you read from your student, and how poetic it was the way you put it. And I was thinking how that sounded in the 48-year-old ears of a black man, which I happen to be, who happened to be in tune, as you use the word, about the history of America, and you use the word about Barack Obama and slavery, and I'm just thinking if that student had any idea about the past history of this country. And now, and my second comment was this.
Well, you're dealing with two topics in one. So to you, we must say slavery every time we say America. Is that correct?
Well, when you talk about the history of our...
I mean, that's all you want to talk about is the negative. You never want to talk about the positive. You don't want to talk about the hundreds of thousands of white men who died freeing the slaves, do you?
Well, that's all part of it. That's part of the history.
Well, I mean, why must you continue to go on and on and on with the grievance? Does that empower you some way?
Where is slavery at?
Does that liberate you? Does that liberate you to go on and on with the worst phase in American history? Does it liberate you somehow from what?
I just wanted to make a point.
What it does is it creates a grievance in you that inhibits you from success in your own life, in my opinion. And by the way, I would say the same thing to Jews who walk around with the Holocaust as a chip on their shoulder. I didn't say forget the Holocaust. I didn't say forget slavery. But if a Jew walks around and every minute is about the Holocaust, the Holocaust, the Holocaust, and they define themselves by the Holocaust, then they're limiting themselves. They're enslaving themselves, in my opinion.
You jump 3,000 miles across the water talking about ISIS and the consequences of America, and you liken that to Barack being the president whom I voted for, and my point would be this. You use Jeremiah as a prophet who prophesied something 3,000 years ago for the sins of his own people, not because of Barack Obama. He prophesied the destruction of Babylon because of Israel and their disobedience to God. So when you use that reference, you can't put the two together and say our American president somehow fits that prophecy. If that's the case, then America itself fits that prophecy of any man that sins pays.
Well, wait. No, Jeremiah prophesied that Babylon would be destroyed. We agree on that, correct?
We agree.
But I am using that as a metaphor of what will happen as a result of Obama throwing Israel to the wolves. That Israel will be forced to go to war, and on their path to war, they're going to have to go over Iraq. That was my point, Sir Anthony. That was my point.
When they disobeyed God, they threw themselves to the wolves. There was 12 tribes. Israel was 12 tribes. Now they're one. That's because of disobedience. It had nothing to do with Barack Obama.
No, we're not talking about then. We're talking about now. And Obama cozying up to the worst terrorist nation on the planet, Iran. Everyone understands that they're a theocracy and that they oppose liberty. Even you accept that, I'm sure. You're not suddenly going to say that Iran is a just nation, are you?
I'm not saying Iran. No, sir. By no means. But I don't know enough about Iran except what I hear in the media to justify any... I might have about Iran, but what do I do know about?
Well, you have no idea about Iran? You don't know what they do to their own people in Iran?
fit the American president. I do know that. They fit people who disobey God. If it's Iran, then it fits Iran. If it's America, yeah, then it fits America.
But why would we permit our president to go and do a deal which is going to permit a racist, genocidal state called Iran to have a nuclear weapon? What could be gained by that?
My answer to that is it's been done in every generation throughout the history of civilization. Every man.
Now you're making an overly broad generalization to cover up the fact that Obama made a huge error and is throwing our allies overboard. Why would he stab Egypt in the back and Saudi Arabia and Jordan, our strongest allies in the Middle East? Why would he do that?
You want a biblical answer for that? Would you like a biblical answer?
No, and now you're jumping back from it's been done before to a biblical answer. Is there nothing Obama could do that you would find offensive? Is there nothing he could do that's wrong?
You said yourself that the vision of his mind just says, if this is prophesied, it's going
to... Why must you as a black man support a black president? Is that a necessity? Is it a racial thing? Isn't it possible for you to separate race from policy?
Could it be that I believe that...
Do I support all white men? Do you hear me support all white men? No. Why must you support a black president who's a lunatic, who's out of control, stabbing America in the back? I don't understand it.
Have you ever referenced a white...
All right, have a nice day. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. The last caller who took umbrage at my defining Obama as mentally deranged or insane, and I think he ended by asking me if I've ever referred to an American politician in the same way, and I'd say, sir, if you've listened to the show, you've known that that's very mild compared to what I think of most white politicians. But I want to quote one of the wisest of black men, Booker T. Washington. Listen to what he wrote. I was raised learning about Booker T. Washington. He wrote this. There is another class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs. Enter Al Sharpton, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, you name it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
So we're doing the news, the views, the reviews in the Savage Nation, and I read an essay sent by an anonymous student given to me by the people who were screening them for me. We had 1,600 applicants for the Savage scholarship, which will be announced on July 4th, by the way. It closed March 31st, and we're going through them, and we make sure that we don't know who wrote them. I don't know who wrote them. And I read it on the air. It's a pretty amazing essay by someone, a student, and an African-American male calls in the last hour and is offended that she didn't mention slavery. And my point was is that it doesn't have to be mentioned every time we talk about what it is to be an American. And then the argument evolved, and I was saying, I would say the same thing to Jewish people who constantly harp on the Holocaust. I didn't say forget the Holocaust. I said, just don't define yourself as a Jew by the Holocaust, because in doing so, you're limiting yourself. You're imprisoning yourself. I've said this to Jewish people. I've seen them do it, and they do it for fundraising, by the way. The Jews that I know constantly harp on the Holocaust, they're usually doing it for sympathy and to raise money. And I resent it. I don't like it. And I think it slows them down from life. It just is in a chain, it imprisons them. I said the same thing to the African-American caller, that just because we're talking about America, we don't have to automatically talk about slavery. Then throw in lesbian, gays, transgendered, bisexual. Throw it all in. Throw in Japan now. Hey, pick up every grievance. That does not define America. That's not what America is. That's what the twisted perverts in the universities have made millions of people think America is. That's how they've ruined the country. That's what communists do. They undermine from within. And we have a president who does it in subtle ways. He's much too smooth to do it overtly. He's a silk glove salesman. Every is a little parsing about how bad Christians are, about how bad America is. And I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear it anymore, which is why I put together the scholarship to encourage the students who love the country to go forward. They know that there were mistakes made. They know that there are blemishes on the past of America. But that's not what defines America. The university today are filled with America haters. And so I closed by reading a Booker T. Washington quote. And he wrote, and I'll read it again because I didn't have the time. There is another class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they're able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs. Now, who was he talking about, Booker T. Washington? Let's start with Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Eric Holder, Barack Obama, you name it. Every other speech was a reference to the wrongs, not the rights. And so if you want to live in that world, I can't help you. I can't help you if you want to live in that, basically that enslavement. You want to be enslaved, go ahead. Because that's what you're going to be. You're going to enslave yourself with your grievance. It's going to keep you down. It's not going to lift you up. If you want to lift yourself up, go out and lift someone else up. That'll lift you up faster than anything. You know what I'm saying? It's all about your character, not about your grievances. These are important lessons. They're not being taught anymore. How to be successful in America is a very interesting question. You think everyone who gets ahead is a crook? Well, that's also something that the crowd teaches in the universities. Those losers. Those tenured losers who could never make it in the real world. They sit there and poison the minds of the young. Everyone to them who's made more money than them is a crook. They're the only pure ones. They're 4 contact hours a week with a student. And they're raking $100,000 or more a year, you hear? Every other day they're flying off on another conference somewhere. You talk about crooks? A crack dealer is more to be admired than most tenured professors today in these low-life colleges. At least a crack dealer provides a service that someone wants. But the children have to listen to it. They want to listen to this hatred and this hatred for America. Some come through it, though. But I'll close with Booker T. Washington's quote up from Slavery, where he says, I would permit no man, no matter what his color might be, to narrow and degrade my soul by making me hate him. How's that for a Christian statement, Mr. Obama? You should have read that at the prayer breakfast instead of mocking Christians. In my contact with people, he wrote, I find that as a rule, it is only the little narrow people who live for themselves, who never read good books, who do not travel, who never open up their souls in a way to permit them to come into contact with other souls with the great outside world. It's an interesting set of quotes, but African-Americans of this quality, while they still exist, are no longer heard from in this country. They've been pushed on the sidelines. Instead, we hear the haters, the grievance crowd. And that's why that call, I think, led to something enlightening for me and for others out there. I hope that you understood the context in which I am reading some of these quotes. All right, let me open it up to a few more calls, and then we'll have all the news of the day. 855-400-7282. Dean on WFTL in Florida. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, is there some way we can get a printout of that student's brilliant essay and your brilliant follow-up critique? That essay should be submitted to every newspaper in the United States.
That's a very good idea. And what I think you're going to have me do now is I'm going to take the 5 winning prize winners, who are going to get $20,000 each, by the way, $10,000 a year. It's a lot of money for us. I mean, I'm not, I don't own Microsoft, but I donated $100,000 to the scholarship fund. So 5 kids win $20,000 each. We're gonna publish them on my website, michaelsavage.com, and then people can pick them up and disseminate them on the internet, okay? That's what we're going to do. I thank you, Dean. Dean, stay on the line. I want to put you down. Jim, get his name for a free copy of Countdown to Mecca. I'm going to start giving them out today. The book will be out in only a few weeks. It's already shot up from number 300,000 on Amazon to number 2,000. You say that's not a big deal. Or it's moved. People are buying it because the message is so on target and on time. Countdown to Mecca. Stay on the line, Jim. Get his name and send it on to Doug, and we'll get him a copy of the minutes out. 855-400-7282 is the phone number.
And thank you very much for that call. Let's go to the news that I've chosen to put up on the old the website, the Savage website. I have to go get to it. Pardon me. I have to jump from Google to that. Yes, of course, I use Google. It's a good search engine, by the way, the best search engine. Sorry they're so lib, but what can I do about it? They provide a good product. A headline on michaelsavage.com. Fed judge continues to block O's flood of illegals. That's all. Then there's an article called The Win-Win Delusion about Obama's deal with Iran by Clifford May. Now, here's an interesting one. Lead suspect in Harry Reid's beating his brother arrested for assaulting police, Gateway Pundit. I never thought that those terrible injuries that the poor senator suffered were the result of a gymnasium accident. I couldn't even understand if it was in a courtroom, they'd have to reconstruct it with the rubber and the this and the, I didn't understand how it could happen. And just shows you the level of our press. No one even asked the question. The guy was the leading senator, and there was no inquiry from the media, not one. Could you imagine if he was a Republican and he got that much injury and he claimed that it was done in an accident in his home gym? They would have moved into Nevada and not left. They would have been there with trailers and lights like in Ferguson, Missouri, until they figured out what really happened. But because it's one of theirs, oh, forget about it. Oh, yeah, we'll take the cover story. On the left side of my website is a picture of me in a suit and tie and a hat with my dog Teddy at my birthday party last Sunday. Why is it there? Because it's my website. No, because a lot of people love Teddy and they want to see what he looks like. 10 years old, and he can still jump. Oh, he's a little poodle, 10 pounds. The guy can jump up to my chest. You put a greenie up there, he's there. He's on it. He's got springs in his feet at 10. So I feed him very well. I mean, I know how to feed dogs. I love everyone has an idea. I love everyone without a dog tells me how to feed him. And that's like the same when I had children. I had friends, some of whom were gay, who were the biggest experts on how to raise children. They didn't have any, but they knew how to raise them. Some of them were experts on it, wrote books on it, but had no children. It's just amazing to me. I wish them all well. But the experts on dogs, I love people who say, can I give him a treat? I said, over my dead body, no. Oh, it's just a little thing, a little chewy. No, don't give it to him. It's toxic poison from China. No dog treats for Teddy, ever. Never let a stranger give your dog a treat. I don't care how nice they look. Ever. No treats. You know those things they chew on? What are they called? I don't know what they call them. You know, we knew the ones from China are all toxic. That's what they're dumping on our shores. Toxic sheets, toxic pillows, toxic foam. Toxic sideboards, toxic shrimp. You name it, they're sending it to us because we're so smart and our politicians are so wonderful. But then they were making a dog treat, a chewy thing. I don't know what it was called. It was poisoning dogs, giving them kidney damage. So now it came out yesterday that American treats were really made in China and they were causing damage, lethal damage to dogs. Could you believe this? I don't let stroke. And I mean friends of mine, nice people who want to give them a treat. They want to give him some, like a leathery, what do you call those things? I'm at a loss for the word. A hide bone? No, not a hide bone. That almost sounds pornographic. Hide bone? What? I'm sorry. I don't know what it's called. It's like a leathery, chewy thing. I don't know why I can't think. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I go to a pet store, and some of the things they have for dogs to chew on are like bizarre. They're cannibalistic. I went into a pet store the other day. I'm getting sidetracked now to buy him a new box of greenies, which he loves. And they better start advertising on the show or I'm going to stop talking about them. I don't know why the ad guys aren't on them, like, you know. And I saw some chewies, and they were like long, stiff. And I said, where they come? I can't even tell you what they were. They're both. I can't even tell you. They're both things. What? You want my dog to chew a desiccated bull? You know what? I can't even imagine that. But anyway, that's what's going on in the world. Even the dog chewy toys have become somewhat obscene. There's no way you can go that there's not something that makes you cringe. ISIS cuts off the hands of children and executes a starving child for stealing food. And our president does virtually nothing to stop ISIS. I'm sure the caller, though, would support him, saying it's not our problem. That's all. Let's see what's on the bottom of michaelsavage.com. Japan exhibit reveals live dissections of POWs. Now, what you'll hear in the universities is that Japan was innocent. the Japanese Americans shouldn't have been interned. There were no spies amongst them. The racist white man who ran America, which included FDR, who gave the internment order, by the way, Obama's mentor. He did so because he was afraid that amongst the Japanese there were spies. And that, you know, Truman was a racist for dropping two bombs. And you hear it all, right? But you didn't hear about the Bataan Death March. You didn't hear what the Japanese did to our prisoners, which is dissecting them while they were alive. None of that was taught in the universities by the crowd of commies, America haters. What else is on my website? The best thing I've done in months was last Friday when many of you weren't listening. Savage Audio, only a militant Judaism and Christianity can survive the 21st century. It's actually a very, very important sound piece that I did Friday. And I said the liberal Judaism and the liberal Christianity that is taught in our churches and synagogues will be extinct unless it stands up to radical Islam becoming militant. I didn't say homicidal. I didn't say killing. The big difference between militancy. But you have to understand that these religions cannot survive if they're going to continue with this passivity. It's impossible. The mumbling, the mumbo jumbo, the turn the other cheek. It's the road to you nowhere. Can't survive, not in the world we're living in. Mark my words, it's prophetic. It's as good as Jeremiah, but it's for today. Because that's where we're living. You can bring all the old rules of Christianity and Judaism that you want in front of me, but we're not living in that world that you're bringing to me. It's suddenly not 1950. We didn't just defeat Superman, and it's not Pax Americana, where we are the rulers of the world. We are now in very serious trouble. The country is filled with infiltrators. According to the FBI, there are terrorists, Muslim terrorists in 49 of the 50 states waiting to strike, sleeper cells, and they're waiting for the right time to strike and the opportunity. That's why every other day you read Muslim women this, wanted to join ISIS that. This one went after that. The NSA dressed as women, nothing to do with terrorism. Another threat in a plane, nothing to do with terrorism. He screamed Allah Akbar before he pulled out the knife, but it was a lone wolf, nothing to do with terrorism. Right away, they have the answer for you. Nothing to do with terrorism. Go about your business. Eat a vanilla ice cream cone and have a go get your pill. Go ahead. Take your psychotic medication. Go take your six medications. Go take your six medications. One for your diabetes. Because you eat like a pig and you eat sugar. They don't tell you to stop eating the ice cream cone and wolfing down the cake. Who told you have to eat a cake with every meal? Oh, no, the doctors, just take your pill, your sugar pill. Then eat like a chaza and wonder why your cholesterol is through the roof. Then take a cholesterol pill. Then you're a little nervous, take an antidepressant. And that's not good enough, take a sedative when that wears off. Then you can't get up in the morning and take a little speed by the quack with the stethoscope. Go ahead. That's the country you live in. I go to a doctor. They look at the wall. They don't look at me. The idiot looks at the chart on the wall. Hello, how are you? And he's looking at the wall. I'm sitting there shivering in a gown. Hello, how are you? And let's see what medications you're on. And I say none. He says, how could that be? Look at your age. No medications. I take an aspirin once in a while. I drink vodka at night. And I watch my diet. I don't need those pig medications. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Savage Nation, we have very little time. Steve on WMAL, make your point quickly. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to point out a little irony. And what you were saying to the African-American caller, you know, I enjoy your show. It's interesting. It's insightful.
Okay, well, make your point. I have a minute left. Please, Steve.
Your show is based on grievance, in the sense of grievance of the past, present, and the future.
No, you're wrong. See, this is where your mind is confused. My show is based upon a grievance of a president who was leading us to our demise, not upon a past grievance that cannot be corrected. In other words, if an African-American walks around and his whole definition of America is about slavery, that's about a grievance that is over. It can't be corrected. It's done. But if I'm living with a president who is doing us in, that is a grievance that can be corrected with a Congress if it would act. Can't you see the difference between an historic grievance and a current, ongoing, living grievance? That's what the people are entitled to do. Redress our grievances, not talk about the past.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
What if a president arose, let's say in the next century, who's clearly insane? What would you expect an insane man to look like? Could it be that he's clean cut, speaks well, has a nice family, but makes insane decisions that are destructive for the nation he is put there to lead? So what would you do if you had an insane president? Is there not a law on the land that would permit the removal of a president for insanity? Anyway, it's just a question that I'm asking. And in the first 2 hours of the show, I think we answered the question in many different ways. Here's an interesting point. Medical leap as Israeli researchers regrow heart cells. Joint project with Australian team regenerates beating muscle tissue, may have vast implications for heart attack sufferers. Here's an example of the genius of the Jewish mind at its best. Did you hear this? Now show me an equal addendum to humanity from Iran. Can anyone listening to this show show me one invention, one discovery that the Iranian lunatics have given the world? Show it to me. Show me what Islam has given the world. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Call the show now. Show me what Islam has given the world in a positive manner. I want to hear it. And please don't bring up the zero. We know about the Arab contribution to numerals. We know all about it. I'm not talking about the zero 1,000 years ago. I'm talking about what the oppressive theocracy known as Islam encourages in people, which is nothing but fear. And when you encourage fear in a population, they do not create. They die on the vine. Medical leap as Israeli researchers regrow heart cells. Joint project with Australian team regenerates beating muscle tissue, may have vast implications for heart attack sufferers. Take a look at all of the Nobel Prizes that have been won around the world and ask yourself, why are there so few in Muslim nations? Is it because the evil Christian nations have kept them down, or is it because the theology of the nation keeps the people down? Ask yourself the question. You'll come up with the right answer. That's all. I'm not going to go into the study, but it's a very interesting one. So if someone has a heart attack, there could be hope that they can regenerate the cells now. Speculation is it'll take another 5 years before scientists know if the same process can be used in humans. Now, if this discovery could ever have been made in a throwback nation, they probably would have killed a doctor for committing some kind of crime against the Quran, just as they're destroying priceless, ancient relics in every city these vermin touch, breaking them apart with bulldozers, and the world says nothing. Heritage sites that survive wars and earthquakes, chipping away at them because it's considered against their Bible that you have a graven image. You hear this? And we're supposed to make that compatible with our nation. Anyway, 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's take some callers on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Ann on WFTW Radio. Ann, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, you are the only one on radio or TV that is stating the absolute truth about our president. I cringe to even call him that. He doesn't even deserve the title. But I admire you. I've listened to you for 18 years. Love the Stop the Coming Civil War book. It was very prophetic. And I just want to say, keep up the great work and get the word out.
See, what I don't think people understand is that insanity is not necessarily easily understood or detected. What is an insane person? What do they look like? Can you define that? You can only define an insane person by their actions, not by their thoughts. The difference between, I read this once years ago, the difference between sane and insane is not what a person thinks, but what they do. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It's what he...
And by what Obama is doing by definition, which is attacking all of our allies and supporting all of our worst enemies, he's insane by definition. He's insane. There's no other answer for this. His hatred for the country is so strong within him that he would rather go to bed with our worst enemy than even he gives. Why does he give Iran the benefit of the doubt? Are they to be trusted? What have the Iranian mullahs done in recent years to produce any sense that we should trust them? Nothing. Nothing. Zero. You know, it's the same liberal idiocy that led Bill Clinton to give a similar quote years ago about North Korea. Did you know that? I bet people have forgotten that. Many of you forgot that 21 years ago, Clinton announced the conclusion of a similar framework with North Korea, an agreement that Clinton said was a, quote, good deal for the United States, exactly the same words that Barack is using. Because Clinton said North Korea would henceforth be obligated to, quote, freeze and then dismantle its nuclear program. And then we were told that we would monitor North Korea to make sure it keeps its commitments, right? And then North Korea's chief negotiator, Kang Sok-yu, provided further reassurance when he lied and said, this agreement will resolve all questions of the so-called nuclear weapons development by North Korea that have been raised. And have raised such unfounded concerns and suspicions, close quote. And then he lied again. He said, we have neither the intention nor the plan to develop nuclear weapons. He was lying. And yet Clinton chose to believe him. Now your friends in North Korea have nuclear weapons, building more, developing longer-range missiles, and assisting Iran's nuclear weapons program in ways that we know nothing about. Did you hear that? So why are we not having a debate over this insane deal with Iran? Why? Including our elected representatives in Congress, who Obama says, stay out of the way. Who the hell do you think you are to tell me what to do? I'm God Almighty. And when Michelle and I get back from our next vacation, we're going to take this up with you. We'll make sure we punish every one of you that dared stand up to me and make believe that you're a representative. Of what? I'm the supreme leader of America. Who the heck do you think you are? That's what you have now in the White House. But the point is, 21 years ago, Clinton used the same exact words on his, quote, framework with North Korea. And now North Korea has weapons that threaten our existence. So why in the world would we trust this lunatic who's doing the same thing with Iran? Tell me. When the caliphate continues to grow by the minute. All of this can be found in a wonderful article, The Win-Win Delusion, by Clifford D. May in the Washington Times, which I've linked up on michaelsavage.com. We've capitulated. We have no knowledge of the history of the liberal mentality of appeasing monsters and monstrous dictatorships. Clinton did the same thing, used the exact same words when he said, quote, this is a good deal for the United States. It's a chilling reminder because Obama used the same words last week. Robert, didn't he say it's a good deal for the United States? The same exact words. It leads you to ask who's writing the script. Who puts these puppets in power? And then they said the United States and international inspectors will carefully monitor North Korea to make sure it keeps its commitments. Right. How'd that work out for you? How'd that work out for you? All right. That's all. You get the picture. 855-400-7282. WVNN, John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I had the answer to two of your questions. First, how do you tell if you've got an insane president? In this case, when the condition is an insanity known as sociopathology, an absence of conscience, the chief symptom is being a pathological liar, a chronic and continuous pathological liar, and that's the symptoms for this man. He can't.
He is a narcissist. He's a pathological liar. He's in love with himself. He has no sense that he's doing anything wrong. He knows better than everybody. He's the supreme leader. You know, I was watching a movie about the Vietnam War, and I saw LBJ when the war was turning against the American people because of the boll weevils in the press. LBJ got up there and said, I cannot in good conscience continue as president and I'm going to resign after this one term. That man had a conscience. As tough as he was, he had a conscience. Obama is literally void of a conscience in my estimation.
Absolutely, I agree. The answer to the other question, what one technological invention or contribution from radical Islam to the world? And that is very simply the suicide vest. The bomb vest that they're willing to strap on their women and children to to kill what they consider infidels and non-believers.
No, oh, there you go. That's quite a contribution to civilization. Does anyone know of any Islamic art that's come out in the last 100 years? I'm not aware of it. How about any Islamic science? How about Islamic poetry? Any songs coming out of the hearts of people under the yoke of Islam? What a matter, silence all of a sudden amongst all of the fellow travelers in the audience? I don't know of any top 40 hit that was written in an Islamic country, do you? I think they kill people if they dance. They chop your hands off if you celebrate and lift your hands up and start to sing. That's what's coming here because you bring them in. Keep bringing them in, 100,000 a year. God, bring in more. Bring in more. Build more mosques. Bring in 100,000 a year, whatever. Keep, because it's an equal religion to Christianity. It liberates the people in those countries. Just look at how they live. Look, I could keep doing this until kingdom come, and I don't know how many of you haven't heard this before, or how many of you... See, if you know the truth, you've heard this before. But if you don't know the truth, this is shocking to even listen to this. I get it. Many of you don't want to hear it, so I'll stop. I'll just stop. 855-400-7282. I was reading Kissinger's incredible essay on the Iran deal and its consequences in the Wall Street Journal. I'm not a great fan of Kissinger, but as a genius he is, and he can still knock him out of the park. This is like a Babe Ruth essay by Kissinger. And he writes an essay that is worth reading. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. But he talks about the order of the world, and he says, cooperation is not an exercise in good feeling. It presupposes congruent definitions of stability. There exists no current evidence that Iran and the U.S. are remotely near such an understanding. Even while combating common enemies such as ISIS, Iran has declined to embrace common objectives. Iran's representatives, including its supreme leader, continue to profess a revolutionary anti-Western concept of international order. Domestically, some senior Iranians describe nuclear negotiations as a form of jihad by other means. And yet our president doesn't see this as jihad by other means. He says it's a good deal for America. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back to take your calls right here. Don't go away.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Good.
When the chrome was thick and the women were straight. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. One day at a time. Cheney says Obama wants to take America down. Thanks for joining the party, Dick. A couple of years late on that one. When asked on an unknown radio show, Cheney was on an unknown radio show, called in on the telephone to no one ever heard of the show. Why do they always choose these unknown shows to go on? I don't understand it. He goes on this unknown radio show, and they ask him if Obama's anti-American or is he naive. Is he naive, he says to Cheney, or does he have a far-reaching vision that only he entertains of a realigned Middle East? And Cheney says, I don't know. I vacillate. He said, if you had somebody who was president, wanted to take America down, who wanted to fundamentally weaken opposition in the world, reduce our capacity to influence events, turn our back on our allies and encourage our enemies, it would look exactly like what Barack Obama is doing. That is almost a direct quote out of Stop the Coming Civil War. So I'm sure that Cheney is a listener and a reader, which is good to know. You figure out of the millions of people, you would assume one politician or another listens once in a while. I mean, show is heard across the country on the biggest stations in the country in drive time. You'd think that some of them, oh, yeah, oh, who's saying, oh, I never heard of him. Been on the air 20 years. No, I never heard of him. No, I never read any of him. You go in the library, all my books fall out of the bookcase. Half their speeches contain lines from my books. But okay, that's okay. That's the story. I'm not complaining. It's not a grievance. I'm not bellyaching. I'm not looking for reparations. I'm not looking for reparations from anybody. And that leads us back to the issue of the grievances question. Remember the guy said, isn't your show based on grievances? And I began to develop the answer, which I thought was good for someone who had 30 seconds to answer. And I said, talking about slavery or the Holocaust as though it is the defining moment in your life is a grievance that cannot be corrected. But speaking about the actions of a lunatic president is a grievance that can be corrected. And we have a right as Americans to redress our grievances. Not about the past, but about now. You get it? And it comes back to many other things. For example, if I complain about the filth that comes out of Hollywood, the day in and day out filth and violence that comes out of the most twisted minds of our generation. It's like the Allen Ginsberg poem. I've seen the best minds of my generation howling mad in an insane asylum. No, he didn't. The best minds, the worst minds of his generation are now running America. But nevertheless, the point is, if I complain about the products of Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, Weinstein, Spielberg, and Geffen, if I complain about them, I'm not complaining about the past. I'm redressing my grievances to Hollywood. Like, how about producing a movie, as Clint Eastwood did, about an American hero? It might even make you some money if you stopped hating the religion of the land, and if you stopped hating the soldiers who we all look up to. Then that's redressing a grievance. Now, fundamentally, you can redress your grievance at the box office. And you did. You put liberal radio out of business. Remember there was a liberal radio network, what's it called, Radio America, and it went out of business because nobody wanted to listen to the garbage. If they wanted to hear that crap, they could have heard it on Williams' show. Brian Williams was giving it to you every night. Every night, ABC, CBS, NBC, the same thing. So you turned to radio for an alternative to that rubbish, to the rubbish of NPR, an arm of the Obama administration, right? But you can't turn NPR off by not listening to them because they are supported through tax dollars. If we had a legitimate Republican Congress, NPR would be defunded. It would be put out of business. First of all, it's competing in a marketplace in an unfair way. They don't have to answer to advertisers, I do. They don't have to answer to ratings, I do. It's an unfair competition. They should be driven out of business. A legitimate Republican Congress would eliminate public television and public radio, period. There's no need for it. They're not unbiased. If they were unbiased, I wouldn't be saying this. They're so far to the left that they're indistinguishable from the Obama administration. You know that, and I know that.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Treasonous enemy of the people. No one knows. It doesn't really matter what he is, because he may as well be one or the other. He's now supporting the mullahs of Tehran, threatening the legitimate governments and our allies in Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and other Sunni-majority countries, with the idea that disaffected youth will rise up in a revolution in their country. Now, what does this say about your president? Well, it says that he's clearly a Marxist revolutionary who is also suffering from a messianic complex. The man wants to turn the world on its axis and remake it in his own image. When asked, well, what about the Iranians who hate the Hitler-like theocrats? He says that his nuclear deal with them will free the nation to pursue science, technology, and job creation. But that's the nuclear deal that we put together, he says. And he says, but the nuclear deal that we put together is not based on the idea that somehow the regime must change. He said, no, it doesn't have to change. This says it all. He is not only a Marxist revolutionary, but a supporter of a Shiite hegemony. And so we now have arrived at a point in history where he is threatening all of our allies and supporting all of our enemies, soon to go to Cuba and reward these jailers, the Castro brothers, reward them once again for being jailers. I read a story this morning in the Christian Post that made even me shrink. I couldn't take it. I couldn't even look at it, but I had to for you. And the headline is, ISIS cuts off four kids' hands, one for stealing a toy, and executes a starving child for stealing food. And there's a picture of these poor children inside a cage. It's enough to rip your heart out. Little children in a cage with these thugs, these vermin, these gangsters with a flame next to them scaring the poor little children. You see, they're not Muslim children. They're subhumans to the Nazis in headscarves. They're not human children. They're not Muslims. They're our little Azidi children. And what do you care about Azidis? All you Larry Davids of the world, you can just mock me and you can mock them. What's an Azidi? What is that, a certain kind of pasta? Why do I care about Azidis? They're not my audience in Hollywood. But they're people. They're human beings just like you. They have little hearts and little minds. And they're living in a horror that you cannot hardly imagine. But there's a picture for you to look at. And while it's no secret that your friends in the Islamic State amputates the hands of grown adults who have been accused of stealing, apparently they're now doing the children. But they're not your children. I mean, they're not your children. They're some kind of weird Middle Easterner. And if a woman has a boyfriend and is married, they kill them. They cut off their hair, they're stoned, they're shot, some are beheaded for adultery. If the woman has a boyfriend, the punishment is stoning. If she has more than one boyfriend, she'll be shot. Would you like to hear more about the racist psychopaths called ISIS? For Yazidis, if a girl is under 8 years of age, nothing happens. But if she's older than eight, they force her to have sex with the jihadists. You see, eight was the age that Muhammad chose for adulthood in his time. And so the throwback psychotics read their Quran and take it literally. And so they go along their way, and no one in the UN stops them, because the UN is, as you know, just a corrupt organization that has no meaning to it for its existence. Families in Mosul, now occupied by ISIS, are afraid to send their daughters to school because the militants go to the schools and take girls out of the class and force them to have sex, and that the murderers pick non-Muslim girls to rape. But don't worry, they're very compassionate, all you feminists, because if the girl is under eight, nothing happens to her, so they're good. These are good terrorists. But if she's older than eight, they force her to have sex with the jihadists. I know Ruth Bader Ginsburg has wanted to reduce the age of consent to 14, or was it 12, or is it 9? We don't know. But it's only a few years off from the murderers in ISIS, Ruth. Good job. And so that's what's going on. That's what's going on, and we do nothing. But do you know why it's going on in Mosul? Do you know why the men can't fight back? Did you hear why? Because before ISIS took over the town, the Kurdish government forces went house to house and took all the weapons in order to prevent the rebel uprising. But in taking their weapons, the Kurds left Mosul residents with nothing more than a knife to defend themselves, their family, and their property. Ibrahim, an eyewitness, says people are like sheep now. They don't have weapons, only knives. Iran news report, Tehran will start using fastest centrifuges on day one of Obama's deal. In other words, as I told you yesterday, your president has given Iran a green light to develop nuclear weapons. Your president has thrown Israel to the wolves. Your president has put America's interests last. It's no longer America first, but under Obama, it's America last. And so where do we turn? Many of you are not only perplexed, you're anguished. You're anguished because you don't see any salvation. You certainly didn't see it in Rand Paul. You didn't see it in any of the Republican speeches. There was not a mention of ISIS. Not a mention of ISIS, not a mention of stopping them, not a mention of putting National Guard on the border to stop the hordes of illegals coming to devour us like the plague. Not one word from any Republicans about the borders, our language and our culture. So who do we turn to? And why do we even read the news anymore? Why do we listen to talk radio anymore? Is it just to be shocked and entertained? Let me tell you something. The age of Howard Stern and panties and lesbians is over. It's been over for 20 years. That's something for 12-year-olds. But adults don't need to be shocked listening to radio. There's no need to listen to talk radio just to get a little charge here and again from a remark or something shocking. I mean, I can do the sarcasm when it occurs, but we're way past that. We're in a new phase. We've entered a new phase, not only in the news media and in radio particularly, but a new phase in world affairs. Because never before in American history have we seen a president taking the side of our most devout enemies. Against all common sense, he tells us that they're a partner that we should deal with. Against all common sense, he reverses the world order that's been in place for 70 years, which did keep Americans safe. Make no mistake about it. By and large, it kept Americans safe. But no more. And so people wake up and they ask, which side is he on? Then they ask the question, well, is he delusional? Is he just an academic intellectual who doesn't really know what's going on? Or is he playing for the other side?
And as I, Michael Savage, have said for a few months now, it doesn't really matter because the end result is the same. It doesn't really matter if he's playing for the other side or if he's just an academic idealist who doesn't really know reality when it comes to dealing with these devils. The end result is the same. I've said it for months, and now we hear that Dick Cheney said the same thing. And I hope that Dick Cheney is a listener to the show. I would welcome in all the retired security people, all the retired military people who listen with astonishment, men and women who have risked their lives for this nation, who are now sidelined, having been replaced by children, children who are either brainwashed or drug addicted, who do not even understand which country they're working for. There was a fabulous editorial in the Wall Street Journal today by Henry Kissinger, of all people, entitled The Iran Deal and Its Consequences. It's long. It's 2,000 words, but it's so well written and so well constructed, I recommend that you read it. And the bottom line is this: mixing shrewd diplomacy with open defiance of UN resolutions, Iran has gradually turned the negotiation on its head. Iran's centrifuges are multiplied from about 100 at the beginning of the negotiation to almost 20,000 today. And then Kissinger adds this: the threat of war now constrains the West more than Iran. It's beyond belief what's going on. So where do we turn is the point. Who's going to save this nation? What kind of rotten system do we have that a lunatic, an out-of-control madman like this, can keep going on his merry way, even though the election said, stop, stop him, stop him, stop him. Stop him, he's killing all of us. And this charlatan gets up the next day and says, go to hell, and he triples down. And he does one horrendous thing after another. One thing after another, and there's no opposition. Instead, he goes to stooges like Thomas Friedman in the New York Times. Or NPR, a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat Party, which should have been defunded a long time ago. And where's John Boehner, the leader of the opposition? Where is that stumble bum drunk? Where is he today? What does he have to say about all of this? Nothing. In the cloakroom, swilling the scotch, I would guess. So where do we turn? Times like this, it's really rough for people. They tune out. They put their head in the sand. They go about their lives, and they forget about it. They can't do anything about it. They give up, which is exactly what a despot like Obama wants you to do. He wants you to give up, so as he floods America with 30 million illegal aliens and become the new voter bloc that he needs to retain power for 100 years, you won't even care at that point. You will have been boiled like the frog in the hot water. So who do you turn to? I don't know. People turn in. People turn inward. They say, I voted. What more do you want from me? We have a rotten, corrupt political system that I can't affect. Aren't the courts supposed to block a madman who comes along? Well, there is. There's one judge who blocked the madman. Did you see what went on today in the news? This is an amazing story. One lone federal judge has stood between Obama and his desire to destroy America with 30 or more million illegal aliens with the stroke of a pen. Fed judge continues to block O's flood of illegals. I had to read the article four times to understand it. And then I had to convert it to the proper headline, and it's on michaelsavage.com. Fed judge continues to block O's flood of illegals. The judge didn't like when people lie to him. And he is standing in the way of this deluge, this onslaught, this overrunning of our nation by this madman in the White House who thinks that he is the ultimate authority along the lines of other dictators that I've read about in the past who become the law, a law unto themselves. The be-all and the end-all of all laws, one man. We're never supposed to have had one-man rule, but we have it now. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So under the pressure that I'm under, I'm eating more than ever. I'm having a double lunch every day. I mean, I just have to. I cracked 180 pounds the other day for the first time in my life. I'm 182, which for me, forget about it. I mean, but I'm like an opera singer. I got to put fuel down into the furnace in order to sing.
And the stress of dealing with a psychopath in the White House who's turning the world upside down, not for the betterment of the world, by the way, gets to you. And one of the other ways that I relieve stress is I write fiction and I paint watercolors. I'm not showing you my watercolors, but in Countdown to Mecca, which will be out in just a few weeks, I'm going to read you a few pages to show you how I get even with the wonderful people in the Bay Area who they don't know who I am. They never heard of me. I'm the only local figure to have ever broken out to the national level and been there for 20 years. But, oh, we never heard of him. We don't listen to Savage. No, him? No, he doesn't exist. And what I'm about to read you represents no person living or deceased. Chapter 2 of Countdown to Mecca. Before going to the hotel for a press conference, Jack Hatfield walked around the park atop Russian Hill, the prime real estate location in the Gilded City. As he did, he wondered about exclusion, how the uber-liberal city leaders excluded all but their sycophants from any and all recognition. Jack had long ago accepted his status as an outcast and wore it as a measure of pride in a corrupt and soulless place. The top families of San Francisco were filled with whores, thieves, drug addicts, alcoholics, and sex maniacs. Of course, there was the Petty family living off the old man's oil fortune while espousing green nonsense, cashing in on fraudulent solar contracts. Then there were the two major politicians, one whose husband did deals with China that crossed the borderline of treason, and the other whose husband and son did land deals that violated zoning codes while appearing on the boards of other green groups. Then there was Mr. Berkowitz, one of the chief donors to socialist causes, the single largest recipient being the ACLU. His money was made by selling his savings and loan chain to a major bank just before the housing crash of 08. He made billions while the bank that bought his junk mortgages went under. Jack could only ask how a city, let alone a nation, could survive with such abject thieves running the show. Again, it's pure fiction. No one alive is mentioned in that. Then on page 19 of Countdown to Mecca, I introduce a whole new character, Saul Minsky, a Jewish gangster. Now, the other day I introduced a Russian prostitute, and a lot of women listeners sent angry emails saying, how dare you read about a Russian prostitute on the Savage Nation? It's a family show. Well, my dear, it is a fictional book based on fictional characters, and in the real world, there are prostitutes. And she happens to play a central role in the plot, by the way. So now I hope I don't offend all Jewish listeners as I introduce this character, Saul Minsky, in Countdown to Mecca. Standing between Jack Hatfield and the door toward which his quarry was headed was a short, powerfully built, wide-shouldered man. He had thinning, swept-back gray hair, a broken nose, a jutting chin, no neck, and piercing gray eyes. His gray sport coat was bulging under the arm. It was Saul Minsky, one of the West Coast's most notorious and elusive mobsters. He wasn't just Teflon. This guy was porous. Criminal charges sailed through him and hit other people, stooges he had carefully put in place, often without their knowledge. He approached Jack casually as the reporter headed from the meeting room of the Hyatt Hotel. They go on and they talk to each other. And he worked sure that there was never any collateral damage among the general public. He didn't deal in drugs, didn't deal in human trafficking, mostly shilled for corporate clients and their money laundering. That didn't merit a Nobel Peace Prize, but he wasn't as bad as the Vietnamese, the Russians, and other local urban gangs. Mr. Jack Hatfield, said Saul, you just peed all over one of my biggest clients. Jack says, the businessman or the skunk? Ha, Saul laughed. I knew you were good even when you were investigating my operations back in the day. That's high praise coming from you, Jack acknowledged. This isn't our first rodeo, truth teller, Minsky reminded him. You know I always respected you. What, even when I got close to finding out what the cops never could? If Jack expected the mobs to react negatively, he was disappointed. The blockhouse of a man merely snorted. Anyway, there's a lot more in here, and there's new characters. The book has moved from number 300,000 to number 2,500 in one day on Amazon. You can get your advanced copy today so that it's not sold out by the time it comes out, because it's going to be a sold-out book. Countdown to Mecca, under the threat of a third world war, nothing matters except the mission.